Okay, thank you all. Let's move on to item 371.
Direct the Portland Bureau of Transportation to develop a performance-based parking management program subject to City Council approval.
Good afternoon. Welcome. Commissioner Novick, do you have some comments to start this off?
Yeah, a couple. When we last approved increases to the downtown meter rates, we talked about the fact that we were going to be raising the rates throughout the central city without differentiation. And we were trying to meet certain performance targets, but we acknowledged that historically we hadn't really had a clear criteria for how we manage the parking system. And we acknowledged that sometimes what we do might seem to the from the outside somewhat random. Like every once in a while, we raise the downtown meter rates. Well, what should trigger doing that? And should we have some differentiation within the district? In Northwest, we decided years and years ago that it was time to start thinking about putting in meters. And we wound up arguing about that for 15 years. What we are hoping to do now with the council's blessing is establish a performance-based parking management program, which, as the resolution says, includes accepted performance targets and defined program parameters. That such parameters will include the purpose and prioritization of the parking system, performance targets and other trigger conditions, means of coordinating on and off-street parking into a more seamless system, criteria and procedures for establishing new meter districts and sub-districts, defined parameters for adjusting rates, frequency of adjustments, hours of enforcement, monitoring, evaluation, enforcement patrols, protocols, and communication procedures designed to inform the public of changes in parking management in particular areas. So this resolution, in fact, instructs PBOT to develop such a program and to elaborate and explain. I give you Mauricio Leclerc.
Good afternoon. Senior planner with PBOT. Here with me are Judith Gray, also with planning, PBOT planning, as well as Dave Benson and Melissa McCready from parking operations. We have a brief presentation, and I think the commissioners greatly summarized what we're here to do. So if you don't mind, we'll go fairly quickly. Again, the language of the on the resolution itself, on what is that we're doing, what is the process, the context on which we've been working on, and a little bit more specific as to what we mean by performance-based parking management. The resolution title says direct PBA to develop performance-based parking management program subject to City Council approval. We will go start a process, come back to you with the results. So the commissioner read the parameters, and we'll also discuss the next steps. This has all been wrapped up in about 2 years conversation with that PBAT has been having and with the direction of the commissioner to have a holistic approach to parking. The scope they've been working on includes private parking as well as private parking, and we've had at one point four committees working on this at the same time, as well as many other committees on which parking is an element, such as, you know, things that Bureau Planning leads that affect the zoning code, for example. We've had over 50 meetings and briefings all over the city and over 1,000 Portlanders we touched throughout our process. So, summarizing the last year, we've had four committees, and one of them recommended the, adjustment to the downtown. That was one of them. At the same time that they did that, they also said, please move to a performance-based parking management program. And but also we have three, the Central City Committee, where a lot of the meter areas are, recommended also performance-based parking management. But also Centers and Corridor, other committee outside of the Central City, we work with them to develop a broad toolbox of parking management tools, and we want to integrate them into a logical sequence so that we can have a data-driven, logical, transparent decision-making process. So this is an effort that is actually citywide. This is guided by the comprehensive plan policies that you've been working on and that we have updated recently. But on the macro scale, we're talking about all things parking, holistic approach, but things are falling into two buckets: private parking, you know, what comes with new development, zoning code related stuff, and things that are public. You know, those things that are public, we want to bundle them into a logical system that we're calling performance-based parking management, and those are affecting, and they're housed under Title 16 of our code and also in administrative rules. So this is the process to change those, and next time we'll be back. We'll be bringing amendments to Title 16 and the admin rules. So very briefly, what have we what have we been hearing from the public? Three major themes. One is to better use existing parking. Before you create a new one, let's make sure that we get better use of what we have. That applies not just to the private sector, but also our smart park. You know, we have a peak about noon, but most of the nights and some of them in the evening, they remain empty. We can do better use, make better use of them. Also, redefining the function of parking within the curb zone. Make sure that it is for the highest and best used, and have the program to support that. On the on-street management itself, we've been working throughout the city, and very clearly we have to do more to manage on-street parking, given the increase in demand in our main streets, and the fact that we have limited on-street supply and we're not going to grow it. So the better management is very important. Today, demand spills into adjacent neighborhoods, and we're doing much to address that, and we'll be coming back to you with more work on that end. And finally, more demand-responsive management. Today, it is very challenging, as the commissioner said, to initiate parking plans and actually adjust the rates. We do it on average about in the downtown once every 6 years. And today, we have technology, smart park meters, that allows us to do a lot more, not just to adjust rates, but also to collect information about transactions and so forth, so we can have better monitoring, know how the system works, and also have the ability to respond. So we're bundling that public parking effort into the what we're calling performance-based parking management. It is under the umbrella of the comprehensive plan, so we'll be working under the policy for public parking that the system be to encourage safety, economic vitality, and livability of our commercial and residential areas, and as well as to manage parking to achieve the best and highest use. So we've been talking and with the public about this performance-based parking management. What is it that we want to do? What is it that it would do? So it has not been developed, but our aim is that it's a citywide program. It is data-driven, clear, it is transparent, relies on performance metrics such as 85% occupancy to make sure that that's success, and that's what we can aim to. It maximizes customer experience on the parking system. You don't have to be cruising around looking for parking. And it's not driven by revenue, but actually by the performance of the system. It improves reliability of the transportation system, as you have fewer cars driving around as well as the overall livability of places. And includes industry best practices for the management of parking, and that includes the toolbox that I just referred to. So, as I mentioned, we had a lot of conversations with the public, and three of our committees, we really two of them got to endorse performance-based parking management. That's the Central City one, which they recommended. That's in the middle there, that we develop performance-based parking management, including establishing performance targets, coordinated on and off-street. That is basically that the on-street and the smart park work more as a seamless system, and adjusting the parking prices to meet those parameters. The downtown meter rate, as I mentioned, also recommended as part of the rate adjustment that we move to performance-based parking management. And the Centers and Corridor Parking Project endorsed a toolkit, that also in a residential permit program that needs to be integrated into this program. An example, we brought it to you at the work session. This is, clear. We like what Seattle does. Other cities aren't doing it. This is for downtown, and it applies to meter areas. Again, we're talking about more than just meter areas. But as an example, they have set up parameters between 70% and 85%. That's the target range. You collect information, and that gets published. You can see it here in Ballard area in an annual report in that case. What is the occupancy? What is the action? Very clearly detailed, very transparent, done in a certain periods of the year or so. And then basically we tell you, the occupancy in this case is 83%. No need to act at this point because we are within the target range. If you're getting below, we will monitor it and then lower the rate. If it gets too high, we will actually increase the rate. It's simple as that. It's very successful. San Francisco has done it as well, and it has led to the benefits of getting traffic off the street and getting citations quite a bit down as a result, and in greenhouse benefits as well as you get that traffic off. So, again, I want to mention that it's not just about meters or permits, but also we have about a toolkit that we worked with a consultant in a committee. It was a TGM project funded by ODOT, and we ended up with a list of 60 projects, 60 ideas that we can do to better manage parking, and we want to integrate that. So To summarize, these are the parameters that I think the commissioner read, and I'm not sure I need to read them again, but it is to develop targets, basically, coordinate our parking, develop criteria for new districts, and breaking up some districts so that in areas that make, in chunks that make sense, for example. Adjusting the rates and knowing when to adjust and how often, how to adjust hours of enforcement, how to do the monitoring, how to evaluate and do the enforcement, and also how to communicate all these changes to the public, and not only as to what we're going to do, but actually when we do it, there needs to be some predictability that the parking system will be there at a certain rate for a certain period of time so that nobody gets surprised. So all of that will be the core of the process that we'll be doing and working with that committee and developing a public outreach process and bringing all of that, you know, to you for adoption. So that's the presentation. So, and actually, before we end, I want to thank all the committees that have been working with us. You know, they've done a lot of work, devoted a lot of hours, and we appreciate their ideas and their support. Great.
Thank you. Questions?
How will the needs of people with lower incomes and the effects on people of color be evaluated and incorporated?
Equity is an element that is incorporated into everything that we're doing at PBAT. For the things that relate to parking, will be public parking. We'll be looking at tools that affect. You know, they have some sort of a cost component, and determine what is the impact on, low-income people, for example, and determine the proper action, for example. It could be that no action is needed. It could be that we need to provide some sort of a subsidy or something that offsets or mitigates the impact. You know? So that'll be part of how we integrate tools into the different tools into performance-based parking management. So we'll look into it. We did it for the rate adjustment, and we're doing it also for the permit that we'll be introducing to you in June.
Other questions for Mauricio? Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Let's see, do you have any invited speakers here, Commissioner Novick, or just those on the sign-up sheet?
Actually, I just have one more question. It says in the impact statement that the legislation doesn't have long-term financial impacts for the city, but it will.
This action will, not this time, because we're coming back with the formal changes. So at this point, we're just setting up a committee and coming up with ideas. Next time we come to you in May, setting up for next time where it may have some fiscal impacts. Our experience, based on what other cities have done, is that it does not lead to more or less revenues. It's pretty much revenue neutral. But we'll come back to you next time with the actual proposals, and then we'll fill that out appropriately.
So it does say that there are no changes in current or future revenues. Is the intent for it to be revenue neutral?
Intent is to do what we do, which is manage parking for a certain objective, not by revenue.
Commissioner, I think this action, simply instructing the Bureau to develop a program in and of itself, is not going to change revenues. Once we develop a program, it might potentially have some input, although as Bruce says, it might not.
I understand that. My question is part of the way we're setting up the program making it intended to be revenue neutral?
What we're intending to do is to have a more rational parking management system. And sometimes that will lead to more revenue, sometimes it will lead to less revenue. For example, one of the effects of having meters in Northwest is to raise more revenue, but the purpose of having meters in Northwest is to better manage the right-of-way.
Right. So it isn't one of the criteria for success that it be revenue neutral?
I don't think that's necessarily the case, because if we had set that as a criterion for putting meters in Northwest, we would have had to decide to cut rates somewhere else in order to offset that. And in terms of managing parking, I don't know that that would have made sense.
And I concur with that direction. I just want to be clear that there may be some increased revenue, which may be seen as a positive side effect or a negative side effect, depending on which side of the paying and receiving you're on.
I agree.
Good point. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much. So do you have any invited speakers, or is there just a group?
We have some people signed up.
Okay.
Great. Let's take those, please.
We have four people signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Chris Smith, Chris Chiarini, and Riza Farhudi.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Mayor, members of council, good afternoon. I'm Chris Smith, Vice Chair of the Planning and Sustainability Commission, but testifying today as an individual. I'm going to try and connect the dots, and I'm tempted to say that the whole comp plan depends on this, but that might be just a little bit hyperbolic.
Wow.
But in fact, it is a keystone piece, I think, of success in our comp plan objectives. As we talked about here in work session a few weeks ago, part of the challenge in the comp plan is to facilitate Portland's growth, which includes growth in trips, while essentially keeping the number of auto trips constant, because we're very close to the limit of our infrastructure to accommodate auto trips. And you know, adding auto trips would both be very expensive and contraindicate other goals that we have in the comp plan. We know that auto trips, one of the biggest determinants is the availability and pricing of parking. So parking will be one of the key tools to facilitate meeting those goals. And we know that off-street parking in large part responds to the on-street parking environment. And in fact, one of the things that screws up off-street parking is the perception of free on-street parking. And we know that on-street parking isn't really free. We just hide the costs other places. So moving to a performance parking system gives us the tools to very intentionally manage that, I think will be critical to achieving our overall comp plan goals, particularly those related to reducing drive-alone trips, and has the added benefit, generally, it makes parking available for the people who need it to be available. So I strongly encourage you to adopt this and start down this path. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Good afternoon to you, too. My name is Chris Caccarini. I am the Vice President for Planning and Operations at the Oregon College of Oriental Medicine. We are the number one school of acupuncture and Chinese medicine in the United States. We offer master's and doctoral degrees in acupuncture and Chinese medicine, and we are located on Northwest 1st and Cooch in Old Town, Chinatown, that we relocated there in 2012, and as part of a remodel of the old Globe Hotel building. Import Plaza building. I want to testify in favor of this proposal, and I have a couple points that I'd like to make. Each day, we welcome more than 400 visitors to our campus. Parking is consistently the number one concern in our customer and community feedback surveys. While 67% of our campus community use alternate means of transportation some of the time, half of all of our commutes involve a car. We see roughly, depending on the year, between 17,000 and 21,000 patients in our clinic. We have a student clinic, or roughly 50 to 70 per day. Out of that particular number, 89% of those drive to their appointments. Well, we want to continue to encourage more use of transit, cycling, and walking. Not everybody can do that. We will always need some parking to meet our various needs. Transportation alternatives are particularly challenging for those with disabilities, which is a large part of the community that we serve in our clinic. Parking management is critical to the continued success of OCOM. Old Town Chinatown, as you know, is unique in the sense that it has trip characteristics that are very different from, say, downtown. Both OCOM and University of Oregon reside in Old Town Chinatown. We have multiple clinics there, public clinics serving low-income patients. We have nightlife and two major tourist destinations in the Chinese Garden and Saturday Market, in addition to the standard office, retail, and restaurants. This requires a more customized management of parking. As a college, we're really looking forward to a clear data-driven and transparent decision-making process for managing parking. We've actually experienced this approach, so we know of what we speak. When we reviewed our own parking data, we learned that a significant number of our community members needed to stay longer than the meters allowed. In response, PBOT lengthened the stay of time to 90 minutes to 2 hours. This was a game changer for our clinic patients, given that our appointments are 1 hour and 15 minutes long. It gives them a little bit more time to get dressed, check in, and check out. We also provided bicycle use data to PBOT and have appreciated the support we received to expand our bicycle parking capacity as a result of the data that we captured. I'll wrap up. And finally, we found PBOT to be a beneficial partner, heavily focused on customer service. We look forward to working with PBOT on developing performance-based parking management system.
Great. Thank you very much. I'm glad you had that successful pilot project of adjusting to make it work better. Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hellers, City Commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Reza Farhoudi. I'm a Pearl District resident, and I serve on the Neighborhood Association Board. I also served on the Central City Parking Update Committee and the Meter Rate Adjustment Committee, but my comments today are mine alone. I'm testifying today in supporting the resolution and urge you to greenlight PBOT's proposal to develop a comprehensive performance parking management policy for your future consideration. Dynamically priced, demand-responsive parking management has many benefits. It will reduce vehicle congestion and emissions. It will help businesses by making it easier for customers to find a free parking space. It will help make housing more affordable, and it will support Portland's ambitious mode split and climate action targets. Performance parking will also succeed in shifting parking demand from the peak to the shoulders, that is, from to locations and times where there is excess capacity. In the Pearl District, we have much higher demand closer to Burnside Street than we do north of Lovejoy Street. We also see considerably higher demand in the weekends and evenings. Implementing performance parking will raise prices where demand warrants it to make sure they're high enough to ensure enough free parking spaces. It will also help reduce prices where we have lower demand, allowing for better utilization of our public right-of-way, one of the most finite resources that we have in the Central City. So in closing, I hope that you adopt this resolution and allow PBOT to move forward and create a performance parking management policy that meets the needs of Portlanders in a rapidly growing and urbanizing city. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
The last two signed up are Ian Studi and Tony Jordan.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Go ahead, Ian.
All right, thank you. Well, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Ian Studi. I am the Director of Transportation and Parking Services for Portland State University, and I'm also the chair of the city's Bicycle Advisory Committee. I also served on the Stakeholder Advisory Committee for the Central City Parking Policy Update, and also as an alternate on the Centers and Corridors Stakeholder Advisory Committee. Suffice it to say, I've spent a lot of the last 2 years talking about parking, to the point that my wife would like me to stop. I would really like to encourage City Council today to support the resolution in front of you. I think that the performance-based parking plan that PBOT will develop will be a major step forward in really a smart, modern approach to how we tackle one of the largest obstacles in improving our transportation network and really how people get around our city and enjoy our city. If I may, I'm not here to testify specifically on behalf of Portland State, I would like to tell you a little Portland State story, which is, in case you're not familiar, has grown from 20,000 students to 30,000 students in the time that I've been there. That's a 100%, or I'm sorry, a 50% increase in enrollment, a commensurate or close to commensurate increase in staff, and a tremendous number of regular visits to campus on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis. We estimate almost 1 million visitors a year. It's incredibly compact and incredibly challenging to manage parking for those folks, and we've done so with only a 10% increase in parking in the last 10 years. Largely, we've been able to do so because the system that we've invested in is twofold. One, the alternatives and really the approach to transportation demand management, providing access to our robust transit network and supporting the transit network with some very hard-earned dollars as well. We're very appreciative to TriMet and others and the system that the city has laid out that's allowed PSU to grow in a very economical and very sustainable fashion. But I want to point out that one of the key functions that's made PSU's growth and management of transportation successful is exactly the same kind of thing that you're considering here today, which is performance-based parking management. We adjust rates and adjust the availability of parking based on demand throughout our campus network of parking. and it has been enormously successful. We are continuing to modernize that system, and we're looking forward to utilizing some of the new technology that's becoming available. But I think that if you look at PSU as, in some ways, a test case, and we look forward to hopefully continuing to work with PBOT test or beta fashion, I think you'll find that this can be an enormously successful thing for the city at large. So thank you.
Thank you very
much. Mind if I just ask one question?
Yes, certainly.
The other night, I had an event teaching a class at PSU. I had to be there at 7, so I ended up about 6:30 parking on Broadway just near Lincoln Hall.
Mm-hmm.
But in the innovative parking you have on the street, so there's a bike protected bike lane on the other side of the car and then the sidewalk. What's been the experience? How have people reacted to that parking configuration?
Quite well. And thank you for asking about that. The effort to introduce, in many ways, Portland's first on-street cycle track at PSU was one that was championed by the university, and we worked very closely with PBOT on that. The response has been overwhelmingly positive. While there's a little bit of challenge in learning how to park in a facility like that for the first time, and when it's really dark out, we see people miss the paint and they head over and park next to the curb. We've mostly ironed that out, and folks pretty much know what to do. And we find that they're often parking in the right spot. There's the occasional hiccup with a delivery vehicle and whatnot, but the benefit to those who are riding and who are riding to our campus on bikes has been enormous, and particularly the group that has identified themselves as interested but concerned in cycling. We found that that type of facility directly correlates with a positive reinforcement for cycling and encouragement to do so. And that's through some very academic research done by PSU staff and students.
I think the only thing that I learned is that I'm now conditioned to look at my rearview window to see if there's a bike coming, you know, driver's side. And so since all I had to worry about is a car on the driver's side, it's remembering that when I then crossed over to get the ticket for the car that I look both ways to make sure there's no bike on the between me and the sidewalk.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of adjusting. And I think that what the Bureau has planned in terms of protected bikeways into the future looks very positive. And I think that the designs that are there and that PBOT staff have been working hard to modernize and emulate from other cities are in some ways even a step above what we have on Broadway today. It is a great example, though, of how parking can be utilized not just as auto parking, but as a buffer between two different modes of transportation that really we'd prefer did not mix, if possible. So,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, we have to keep experimenting. Some of these experiments have proven right the first time, some wrong the first time, some need work. It'll be interesting to see how the cycle track idea evolves that way.
Well, we're always happy to help.
Part of the challenge is that people come here from other places and they don't know about this stuff. So every now and then I'll see a driver stuck in the queue at the back of the line of parked cars who hasn't figured it out yet that they're not moving.
that's always a good fortune.
Welcome.
Hello. Mayor Hales, commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Tony Jordan. I served last year on three of the parking committees that were mentioned. Since serving on those committees, I founded a group called Portland Chupistas, which is a group that advocates for effective parking policy here in Portland. I'm the president of Sunnyside Neighborhood Association, but I'm not speaking on the behalf of the Neighborhood Association today. I support this resolution and encourage you to direct PBOT to develop the performance-based parking management policy for your review and approval later this year. Our public right-of-way is one of the city's greatest assets, and we have an opportunity to manage a significant portion of that asset to make housing more affordable, encourage commerce, make our streets safer, and to make progress on our mode share and climate action goals. There was a common refrain at all three of the committees I was on to use new ideas and technology available now to better manage our parking supply in a data-driven manner. We can learn from and improve on systems in place in other cities like San Francisco to create a fair and efficient system here in Portland. Concerns over on-street car parking drive much of the opposition to additional housing supply in our neighborhoods. The parking toolkit approved by the Centers and Corridors Committee provides a path to a less acrimonious environment for these developments, and the performance-based parking management is an essential component of that toolkit. These policies will enable neighbors to focus on other important issues and make it easier for developers to add the much-needed supply that we have. Convenient parking is also an essential resource for many businesses and commercial districts. By ensuring that there's always some space available nearby, this policy will stimulate business and increase customer satisfaction. Cash-conscious consumers will be able to find cheaper parking in areas with less demand, and quite possibly they'll see the lowest rates that we've seen in quite some time in downtown Portland, maybe lower than they were 10 years ago. But the benefits of performance-based parking management aren't only for people who drive. Pedestrians and people on bikes will enjoy downtown streets with less car traffic. In San Francisco, areas where SF Park was used to manage parking saw 30% decreases in vehicle miles traveled, and fewer drivers circling blocks while looking for parking equals fewer opportunities for collisions and injuries. Finally, these policies will help us meet our mode share and climate action goals. Performance-based parking management will enable more efficient use of existing parking supply, reducing the need for additional parking garages. Less cruising for parking will reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and awareness of the true value of curbside parking will reframe discussions about the use of right-of-way for alternative modes of transportation and public space. There is one suggestion I have for improving this resolution. Several members of the Central City Parking Committee expressed concerns about the impact of allowing the shared use of commercial and residential parking in the city center. This is in the Central City 2035 plan. It's a good thing to do that, but this proposed change may significantly increase the private off-street supply available to visitors and commuters, which will make it harder to meet the mode share goals. Adding parking supply to rates, hours enforcement, and other adjustable variables in this resolution would acknowledge this concern and provide more opportunities for repurposing of existing supply when it's appropriate in the future. So thanks for taking this step, and I look forward to it.
The concern is, you're talking about existing private garages, right?
Yes, the Central City 2035 draft contains language that would allow existing supply that's off-street in buildings that's for residential only to be used for any purpose. It removes the designation between commercial and residential, and that's good because it will probably lead to less supply, less structured parking built, and free up some supply now, but it could increase supply, which would make it harder to meet the mode goals because those are connected.
All right, good point. Thank you. Thank you very much. Other questions? Thank you both. Anyone else that wants to speak on this item? All right, do you want to take action on this resolution? Who wants to take a vote, please?
Mr. Novick, thank you for your great work, and thanks to your very able team. This seems innovative and thoughtful in the approach, and we look forward to seeing the fruits of the next phase of this effort. Thank you. Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Mauricio. Thanks to the whole team. Thanks to my colleagues. We are well on the way to a rational system of parking management. Aye.
Leah Treat and Commissioner Novick are really bringing them home in the stretch here. So congratulations on this one, too, and thank you to the team for your work. Aye.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner, and thanks both to the team and the other folks who provided testimony here today. I think the last point was an interesting one. I got to make sure that all the system effects, whether it's in land use or elsewhere in transportation, are thought through as we do this work. And obviously, PBOT's eminently capable of that, but I appreciate the point being raised. Look forward to seeing the next phase of the work. Thank you. Aye. Okay.